The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, who will give us more than we could ever ask for or hope for. Amen. Our gospel lesson today was a little bit of a jolt. The first time I read it again, having read it many, many times before, those words of Jesus, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, certainly causes us to sit back a little bit in our chairs and ask, what does this mean, and how does it apply to my particular life? We're all here this evening because we all want to be Jesus's disciples, or at least we're at least interested in that and open to that possibility. But it's important for us to realize that discipleship has its costs and its difficulties. And discipleship has at its very heart this one very key thing, and that is, discipleship really does come down to it's either this or it's that. Think about a diver standing high on a platform, looking down many feet into the water below. The diver wants to dive, the diver wants to fly through the air, the diver wants to make that clean entrance into the cool waters. The diver has to make a choice. It can't be both. You can't enjoy the security of that platform. You have to let go of things. And so it is with our cost of discipleship. And we're going to see what that means tonight. We're going to see why it's difficult, what the dangers are, and what are the things that would hold us back. And then above all, we'll really see how it is possible, how God makes it possible for us to let go of these things of this world and to put our trust completely in Him by His grace. Well, first of all, what does it mean when Jesus says, we must forsake all, or in the English Standard Version, renounce all? Let me begin by giving you a very important lesson in Bible interpretation. This is why Christians should never just sit at home and read their Bibles by themselves. It's so important that you be a part of a Christian church. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's because within this group that the Spirit does His greatest work among us. And why I'm so thankful to be a pastor, to have been given the privilege to study the Scriptures and to be instructed by very wise people along the way. And I am hopeful that I can pass that along to you as well. So here's what we want to learn about Bible interpretation. One of the great problems with Bible interpretation is that people have a great temptation to take a little Bible verse and treat it like a mosaic. You know what a mosaic is? A lot of tiny little colorful stones all set together to make a nice picture. And the temptation is to take one Bible verse, like taking one of those little stones and plucking it right out of the mosaic, and then thinking you can understand it and you can appreciate it. But what happens as soon as you do that, that little stone becomes meaningless. You just absolutely destroyed its purpose. It might be red or blue or yellow or something like that, but because you took it out of the picture, it really is now nothing more than a little chip of rock. The Bible is more like a quilt, a beautiful quilt. Think about this kind of a quilt. I've seen these kinds of quilts where it's kind of maybe called a memory quilt or something like that, where they take some fabrics from your life, special clothing that's from your past, pictures of your life, embroidered sayings that are important to you in your life, and you put all of these together in a beautiful quilt. Now, you can take any part of that quilt and you can get a hold of it, you can pull it up and you can examine it a little more closely, you can fold it over and do a few other things like that, but when you look at any part of that quilt, you have to take the whole quilt up into your hands as well. And that's what's so important about reading the Bible, that we always read it within the larger context of everything else that the Bible, and particularly that Jesus says to us. So what does it mean when Jesus says we have to renounce all, that we have to forsake everything to be His disciples? It's not just giving away all of your stuff, although that has sometimes been what Christians have done. For example, the 12 disciples all did this. St. Paul did this. Martin Luther did that. After he finished law school, he went around and he gave away his books, he gave away his musical instruments, he gave away his extra clothes, and he went into a monastery and he took the vows of poverty and celibacy and obedience to authority. But that is not necessarily everyone's calling in life. And Jesus knows that as well. And He also teaches there are many other things that He wants us to do. So forsaking all doesn't necessarily mean giving away everything that God has given to you. Zacchaeus helped support Jesus. Mary and Martha helped support Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea helped support Jesus. Lydia supported Paul and Silas. And a man named Theophilus probably funded and supported the writing of the Gospel of Luke itself, the part of the Bible that we're studying this evening. To forsake all really means this: to be attached to God and not attached to this world. To be attached to God and to be custodians and stewards of our lives and of the things that God gives us here on earth. That's what Jesus really means when He says to forsake all. And I'll back that up with the rest of the things that Jesus taught us. For example, He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's pretty hard to do when you don't have anything to help your neighbor with. He also taught us the third commandment, which says, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. He wants us to work. He wants us to worship. He wants us, above all, to have a full attachment to God, not an attachment to this world. He commanded us to give our tithes and our offerings, to use our earthly lives wisely for the sake of His kingdom. And so, forsaking all is about not being attached to this world. So let's talk about that. Let's see why that is so hard. I'm thinking of four things that tend to want us to be attached to this world. Four things that are very, very difficult for any of us to turn away from. Those four things are pleasure, possessions, popularity, and power. Now, God, if you look in the Bible under the word pleasure, you'll be surprised that most of the time when the Bible uses the word pleasure, it uses it in a positive sense. God wants us. He created us to have pleasure. So Psalm 16, verse 11 is beautiful. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God wants us to have pleasures. But the danger is that we seek pleasures without God and apart from God. And so we have to constantly examine ourselves, our food, our drink, our medicine, our work, our leisure, our entertainment, and ask ourselves, is it helping us in our attachment to God, or is it hindering us? Is it separating us from God? Possessions also are not in and of themselves a bad thing. Again, in Psalm 118, the psalmist says that we should actually pray for prosperity. Save now, O Lord. Grant prosperity now. God wants us to work. God wants us to be fruitful and so that we can be helpful to other people around us. And yet Jesus also gave us the parable of the rich farmer that we heard not that many Sundays ago. Because there we see that possessions, again, detached from God, without thanksgiving, without good stewardship, can destroy our souls. What about that third thing, popularity and acceptance of the world around us? You know, the world wants to accept all religions and all lifestyles. The world is tolerant of everything except for those who are not tolerant of everything. Tragically, those who simply want to follow the Ten Commandments and that lifestyle today are often labeled racists and other derogatory things. It is a way for the world to vilify those who want to look beyond the world, who want to look beyond the world to the one who made it, to the one who provides all good things ultimately for us, and that is God. And so we must realize that there are going to be times when we aren't going to be accepted. Jesus was not accepted by the world, and those who truly follow Jesus, ultimately, one way or another, are going to find themselves being rejected by the world. And that's hard. We have to be prepared to accept that kind of unpopularity. The fourth one I mentioned, fourth thing that causes us to be more attached to the world and detached from God, is power. I'm not thinking that we're all great and powerful people, but all of us have our little niche of power that we want to hold on to. We get upset when things are not in control of our life, and that often tests our attachment to God. Sicknesses, loss of jobs, betrayal of friends, all sorts of things that go wrong in life. These things make it hard and difficult for us, and it's a challenging thing for us to say, okay, I can let that go. I can trust in God. I can believe in God, even though the world around me might be crumbling, because I know that God will save me. That is why discipleship has its costs. The world is always pulling us away from God, and God is always pulling us toward Him. So let's get to the how. How do we forsake all? How do we renounce everything? How do we stay attached to God? I was listening to a very interesting radio interview of a young man who survived the hurricane Dorian that hit the Bahamas. He was in a house. He thought this house would somehow protect him from 185-mile-an-hour winds. He had no idea what was about to descend upon him, as literally the house began to blow apart piece by piece. The roof flies off. The walls, one by one, blow away. A 7-foot wave crashes through what used to be his living room. And this young man thought his life was just about over. A friend of his, however, had pleaded with him. It had told him, wherever you go, wherever you try to find safety, I don't care where you go, get a life jacket, which is something he didn't do. But miraculously, after his house was completely destroyed and the waves were about to drown him, a life jacket floats by, and he grabs a hold of it, and he puts it on, and he floats with that life jacket through the rest of the hurricane and actually survives. Here are three things to think about when it comes to the how of forsaking all, remaining attached to God and detached from the world. Here they are. First of all, think about the all that Jesus is telling you to forsake. What he's telling you is that none of these things, even though they're not necessarily bad in and of themselves, the reality is they cannot save you. Pleasure is never going to overcome the problems of pain and evil in this world. Possessions are never strong enough to overcome the bad things of this life. Popularity and power. Why would we hold on to these things? These are the things of the world, and they're dying. And so they themselves cannot help us either. So that all, when you really realize what it is, you see, it's maybe not so hard to give it up. Secondly, the second important thing to remember about how we hold on to God and how He holds on to us is to remember that Jesus is the one who lived in this world, and like that life jacket that came floating by, He is not of this world. He lived in the world. He's certainly born of the Virgin Mary. But Jesus came from outside the world. And if we're going to be saved from a dying world, we need something that comes from outside. And that something certainly is Jesus. You know, Jesus stressed all the time, over and over and over again, that he did not care about the acceptance and popularity of the world. He cared about the acceptance that he had with God. He didn't care about possessions. He didn't care about pleasures of this world because he knew there were things so, so much better than whatever we would possibly experience here on earth. So the all can't save us. Jesus is the thing that comes from outside that can save us. And then last of all, to forsake all and hold fast to Jesus is to remember this. Then when Jesus calls us to forsake, he is not saying, I want you to be empty. He's not saying, I want you to just die. Rather, he's saying, I want you to be filled with that which lasts, which has significance, which has everlasting joy. I want your heart to be emptied of those things that aren't going to last. As Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians, we look to those things that are not seen, to those things that are eternal. That is exactly what God does for us. And that's who we are as Christians, and that is our discipleship. Many years ago, in my first congregation in Nebraska, I was invited to be a guest at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. That was kind of an interesting experience for me. I don't know how many of you have been to a meeting like that, but you might know this routine. Everybody starts out, they go around the table, and they introduce themselves. Hi, my name is John, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. They got to me, and I said, hi, my name is Mike, and I'm not an alcoholic. But I'm here to find out. I want to be here to find out how you survived this terrible ordeal in your lives. And then they began to say, well, what do we call you? We don't think we should call you Mike. Should we call you Pastor Walther or whatever? And I said, you call me whatever you want. I don't care. Just call me. And then a man piped up and said something interesting. Yeah, he said, we've been called a lot of things too in our lives, but it's okay now. God has saved us. and we are moving forward in the right direction. You can be with all the people who have everything that the world could possibly offer, but if the things that the world offers you are dying, then what you're holding on to is dying and going away. And you can be with people who are holding on to something that's alive, that gift of God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. That's never going away. And that's the eternal blessings that Jesus wants to have us have filled in our hearts. So when you think about it that way, it's not so hard to leave it all and to follow Christ. God help us to do that in Jesus. Amen.